Thank you, Miss Grace, for our special music. Choir, again, I thank you. You always do such a great job each and every Sunday morning. Thank you for the good singing. You'll find a copy of my outline inside the bulletin if you like to write. The title of my message this morning is in the form of a question. At your job, do you work or are you lazy? At your job, do you work or are you lazy? Please take your Bible. If you've not already done so, turn with me, please, to Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1. Tomorrow is Labor Day, so you see where my sermon is coming from. Man was walking down the street and he noticed a major construction. He began to ask questions. It was huge. And he asked one man, the first man he came to, he said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm laying bricks." He went on down to the other side and he asked the man, "What are you doing?" Second man gave him a different answer. He was laying bricks, but he said, "I'm building a cathedral." A different way of seeing his work. Some men, yes, they lay bricks while others build cathedrals. The difference has to do with one's perspective on work. For example, if you have the wrong perspective, you'll lay bricks. If you have the right perspective, you'll build cathedrals. Men and women have a lot of excuses about work. Some are funny, some are not. I want to share just a few with you. The lazy man says something like this, "I don't want to work. I don't want to work." The frustrated man says, "I don't like my job." And the purposeless man says, "My job is getting me nowhere." Now, the Bible has a lot to say about work because God, our God, is very big on the subject of work. It's sad, and it's also very unfortunate that we live in a world where people are finding ways, new ways, it seems, every single day of how to get out of work. Now, why is it so sad? Because work is a gift from God. Let me say that again. Work is a gift from God. I want to share just a little humor with you. Some of you will recognize these names. Will Rogers. I want to share a quote from him. Will Rogers says, "Tomorrow is Labor Day, I suppose, set by the act of Congress. How Congress knew anything about labor is beyond me." End of quote. Robert Frost. Some of you will recognize that name. I'm quoting. He says, "The reason worry kills more people than work is more people worry than work." End of quote. And then here's just a little more humor. It's on the bulletin board in some place of employment. It reads this way: "In case of fire, flee the building with the same reckless abandon that occurs each day at quitting time." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, that we have health and strength that we can be here to worship you. Thank you for this privilege. Thank you for this honor. Thank you for the good people that are here. And God, we do thank you for our jobs, for our ministries. Lord, without health and strength, we couldn't do anything. Without you, we couldn't do anything. And we do understand and we do know that all good things come from above. So we do not only thank you for our jobs, but we do pray for those that maybe have lost a job or looking for jobs. God, in just a moment, we're going to be looking into your word. And before we even look, we ask that you would bless the reading of your word. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice in your outline, Roman numeral number 1, the gift of work. The gift of work. I want to talk to you about the significance of work from God's vantage point. Everyone will not agree with my next statement, but I know that most of you may. Work existed before sin did. Let me say that again. Work existed before sin did. If you only look at work as part of the curse, you've missed it. Now, work is always, always a part of God's plan. The first chapter of Genesis brings that out because it shows God Himself doing much work. Look with me, please. Genesis chapter 1, let's begin at verse 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And verse 1 tells us that God was very busy, even at the beginning. Look on at verse 2. "And the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now here we see God's Spirit busy over the waters. Skip down to verse 5. God is busy again giving names. Verse 5, "And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day." Verse 7, if you'll glance at it, God divides the waters. And then skip down to verse 9. The Bible says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Let's go down to verse 16, if you will. The Bible says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. Now, what was God doing? God was very busy working. Not only working, He was organizing His creation. Now, let me give you the bottom line. What we see God doing in Genesis chapter 1, before there was man or woman, before there was sin, is expressing Himself by doing productive work. Now, this is powerful, powerful stuff. And you say, preacher, why is it so powerful? Why is it so important? Because God was having a good time as He worked. Now, how do we know this? You say, preacher, can you back this up? How do we know God was really enjoying what He was doing? Every time that God made something, He said, that's good. Look at verse 31. The Bible says, and God saw everything that He made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, God felt a sense of accomplishment in what He had done. He felt very good about His work. And as Christian men and women, we are also supposed to feel good when we work. And some of you may be saying, oh, preacher, you don't know where I work at. Now, some of you may think something's wrong with your preacher, but now I like to mow grass. When I have time, you know, I like to try. I can't see that good, but I put my glasses on. I try to get them lines straight. Doesn't it feel good when you mow your yard, guys? I know sometimes you can't. Sometimes you don't have time. But, you know, just making it look good and getting it done. Now, my wife laughs at me sometimes. I wash the vehicle, and I'll get down and lay down, and I'll rub it a little bit on the bottom and, you know, shine up the tires and the wheels. And, you know, women just don't understand why we do that. But it feels good when you got a clean car, a clean vehicle, a nice yard. We're to be workers like God. Why? Because we're created in His image. Now turn over with me to chapter 2 of Genesis. Please keep your Bibles open this morning. One of the first things God did when He created Adam was give him a job. In chapter number 2, I want to call your attention to verse number 15. The Bible says this, and the Lord God took the man and He put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now, if you were to study the Hebrew just a little bit, you'd understand that word means to cultivate. It means to work. And there's something worth noting here. Remember, sin still had not entered into the human race, so God had given Adam a job, and it had nothing at all to do with a curse. In chapter 2, look at verse 19. The Bible says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what He would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. In verse 19, if you look at it, we see that God gave Adam a job and then gave him the authority to name the animals. I wonder, do you realize that Christians have a lot in common with Adam? You and I were not put here just to watch, just to exist and not do nothing. No, we're put here to be like Adam. We're put here to help cultivate, to help manage, to help shape God's creation. And make sure that we understand what an awesome, awesome honor that God has bestowed upon you and upon me. Some of you are thinking again, preacher, you just don't know who I work for. You just don't know how bad my job is. We must remember many jobs may not be what they should be. Now listen closely. Because sin has entered in. Many jobs may not be what they should be because of something called sin entering into the workplace. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, remember, it affected their work. When they decided to be independent, it affected their workplace. And when they tried to go their own way, it affected their economic well-being. One of the judgments for sin was a curse on work. Look with me in chapter 3, please. Call your attention to verse 17 of chapter number 3. The Bible says, and unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed. There's that word. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and also thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, or the plants of the field, and the sweat of thy face, In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now in the garden everything was clean at the beginning. In the garden in the beginning everything was pure. You didn't need a weed eater. You didn't have any weeds, and there was no sin. But with the introduction of sin came, the Bible tells us, thorns and also thistles. Now people would sweat because he was going against a created order. This is why so many people feel like work is a life sentence than rather a blessing. Notice Roman numeral number 2. We must redeem our work. We must redeem our work. The good news is that in Christ Jesus, God offers us the redemption of work. Now, even though men and women have fallen, and even though the created order is all messed up, if you are a Christian man or if you are a Christian woman, you have the opportunity to regain a significant measure. Now, you say, preacher, how can I do that? How can I make it different at the workplace? If you'll look at your outline, I want to share 4 ways with you very quickly. Way number 1, include God in your everyday. Take Him to work with you. Include God in your everyday. If you're going to find meaning in your work, you'll only find it when you're in the right relationship with God. And let me just slow down here for a moment. I promise you, if your relationship with God is not right, nothing's going to be right. Did you know that? Things at home are not going to be right. The family's not going to be right. The marriage is not going to be right. The workplace is not going to be right. The job's not going to be right. Nothing's going to be right. So this morning, if you will, take time before the invitation. Search your heart. Look deep on the inside. Make sure things are good between you and God. Otherwise, you can have the best job, and maybe it's the highest paying job, and you're still going to be empty right here on the inside. And you say, preacher, why? If I've got the best job and I've got the best paying job, why? Because work in itself can't give you meaning, can't give you purpose. I want to share a scary fact with you. Your work can actually become a source of sin when God's will is excluded. Did you know that? Your work can actually become a source of sin when God's will is excluded. So that's why we need to pray about everything. Pray about that job. Notice way number 2, under Roman numeral number 2. Remember whom you represent. Remember whom you represent. If a couple of hours on Sunday is the only time for you and God, don't be surprised if Monday through Friday is meaningless for you. The idea is to take God with you to the job in terms of your attitude. If you don't go to work thinking, I'm going to work for the Lord, then you've missed the entire meaning of work. The quickest way and the best way to transform a bad job is with a new attitude, with your mind. And I want to give you some scripture if you want to jot down if you're writing. They'll put this on the screen. The Bible gives us the how-to. Jot down Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read verse 22, 23, and 24. The Bible says this, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Notice the word fearing God. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive a reward of the inheritance." You remember just a couple Sundays ago I preached a sermon on will you get an inheritance? You remember when we stand before God, when we stand before Jesus, if we've been faithful, we're going to get that inheritance. There's that word. "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Way number 3, find joy in your job. If you have a great job, but if you leave God out, I promise you there's going to be no joy. I want to give you some more scripture. Ecclesiastes 2:24. Again, they'll put this on the screen. Listen, please. "There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy." That's the word I want you to focus in on. "Enjoy good in his labor," or in his work, or in his job. "This also I saw that it was from the hand of God." Now Solomon has a lot to say about finding meaning in our work, even in a sinful, evil, messed up world. I want to give you a couple more verses. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says this in verse 18, "Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. Notice those words, rejoice in your labor. This is the gift of God. Look at these verses. Here Solomon is telling us to make the most of our work opportunities. God can give you the ability to enjoy your labor. Remember, that starts again with your relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. I want to ask you a question. Is everything good between you and God? Is there something in your life this morning that you know, and maybe no one else knows, but you know it should not be there? There's nothing worse than having to get up and go to a job that you hate. Now, why do so many people hate their jobs? Why is it like that? Because many people are laying bricks instead of building cathedrals. Do you know that? It's called a perspective problem. Let me give you that fourth way. Under Roman numeral number 4, stay focused on the main thing. Stay focused on the main thing. I know we need money to support our families. I understand that. Plus, there's nothing wrong with being rich, but there's everything wrong with making riches our goal. In the book of Proverbs, we find some great advice. Pencil this in your notes. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says in verse 8, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full. And tells us in verse number 9 why. Why he's saying what he did in verse 8. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Again, look at those two verses. The writer asked God not to give him too much. Why does he do that? For fear that he'll forget who God is. And so many times we forget who God is. We get going our own way, things are good, and we put God on a shelf until something bad happens and we try to pull him off then. We need God every single day. Amen? Every day. Then he asked God not to give him too little, if you look at this verse, for fear that he'll be tempted to steal. Now what he asked for is that God will meet his needs. Now why does he do this? So that he can keep his focus. There's that word again. He can keep his focus right where it needs to be. We must ask, do we have the right focus? Is our life 7 days a week, 365 days, is our life all about Jesus? Yes, on Sunday it should be, but every other day, he wants our focus. Roman numeral number 3, look at your outline. We must give our work to God. We must give our work to God. The beauty is that once you get God's perspective on your work, you can deliver your work into God's hands. And why is this so important? Only as we give God our work will we be able to make ends meet. Did you know that? So many people, when they write their checks, when they make their bills, every month they're coming up short. They can't make ends meet. Now, let me say what I just said. Let me repeat myself. Only as we give God our work will we be able to make ends meet. God does expect us to work hard, but the Bible teaches there should be a day and every week that we stop, that we cease from our labor. God didn't create us to be workaholics. Why do we have workaholics? We do that to ourselves. The Bible says that God rested from His work, do you remember, of creation on the seventh day. Christians should not create so much debt that they cannot rest at least one day a week. Let me give you one problem with a workaholic. For the Christian man or woman, it often, and this is so tragic and it's so sad, for the Christian man or woman, it often reflects a lack of trust in God. A God who is sovereign. A God who is all-powerful. It's like we don't really believe Him. We don't trust Him. I want to make it very plain. If you're working so hard that you never get time for God, if you're working so hard that you struggle to come to God's house, if you're working so hard that you can't open your Bible, the Word of God, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, let me tell you something. You're working too much. Amen? You're working too much. You're missing many of the blessings that God wants for you to enjoy. And not only you, but also for your family. Our work was never meant to replace God in our lives. And what's so sad, it has in many of our Christian homes today. It has. Let me finish with Roman numeral number 4. Look with me. Whatever our work, we must give it our all. Whatever our work, we must give it our all. Remember who you belong to. Remember who saved you. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Paul says, any man who won't work and doesn't get to eat. Paul, of course, is speaking of lazy people. Lazy people. Now, I'm an anti-welfare person. Welfare started out, it was good. It was started out to be, and you know the history, temporary. It was a measure to help farmers and also to help through the Great Depression. And that was good. But today, welfare helps both those in need, but some who are just lazy, some who won't work. And that bothers me a little bit. I may have the wrong mindset, but let me share what I believe. If a man can't work, you help him. Amen? If he can't work, you help him. But if a man won't work, if he's just lazy, you don't help him. You're really hurting him when you help him. Listen to what Paul says. If you have your Bibles there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, one verse, verse 10. The Bible says this. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither there should he eat. And that means be allowed to eat. And as Christians, we should not have excuses for giving our best in our work. We should be, because of who God is, we should be zealous in our work. Two things I want you to remember. They're in your outline. Number one, we must remember that we're working for the Lord, not just for the man. We're working for the Lord. Remember, somebody's watching you. There may be lost people there at the workplace. There may be lost folks there each and every day looking for someone to show them Jesus, show them the way. Working for the Lord, what does it mean? Working for the Lord means working with integrity. Working for the Lord means working and being honest, 100% totally honest. I wonder, do you remember Zacchaeus? You remember what he did when he got right with God, when he accepted Jesus Christ? He had paid the people back, according to what I find in the book of Luke chapter 19. He paid the people back what he had stole fourfold. He became a man of integrity. He became a man of honesty in his work. We must remember, there's a second thing that I want you to remember. We must remember to be a witness for Christ at work. Some people say, I can't talk and tell people about Jesus. You don't have to. It's a good thing if you can, but you don't have to. People ought to know that you are a Christian. Amen? Shouldn't have to tell them that you are. They ought to see Jesus in your work, in your life. I mean that both by your words and by your outstanding work habits. You give witness that you belong to Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, how does that happen? How does people know that I belong to Jesus? It should be evident to your co-workers that the hand of God is on you each and every day, Monday through Friday or whatever days you work, by what you say, not only by what you say, but also by what you do. You do the job right. You do it 100%. You give it your all because you're not only working for the man, but you're working for God above. Do you agree? And the great thing is this. When you work for the Lord and when you live for the Lord, you get your reward from the Lord. Is that right? Paycheck may not be exactly what you wish it would be, hope it would be, but let me say that again. When you work for the Lord and when you live for the Lord, you get your reward from the Lord. And I promise you, no one knows how to reward like the Lord. Amen? May not get it here, but you're going to get it one day. Amen? Going to get it one day. God cannot lie, and He will reward those who have been faithful. Let's stand together and let's pray together.